You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
I'm Joe Eron from the University of North Carolina. And this is a sub-analysis of the two benchmark trials, which were studies comparing raltegravir plus optimized background versus placebo plus optimized background. And probably everybody listening has seen and read the benchmark studies, and in that study, obviously, raltegravir was superior to placebo in these advanced patients with high-level drug resistance. But what we did here is to actually look at clinical events. So we haven't had studies for 10 years that have shown actual clinical benefit. We've had great therapies, but this was an attempt to see if there was actually a clinical benefit. So we looked at AIDS-defining conditions and deaths in patients randomized either to raltegravir plus optimized background or placebo. And really the short story is what we found is that for the most part, looking at any of these endpoints, people that got raltegravir, because it was more active, it had better antiviral activity, had fewer events, whether it's new AIDS-defining events or the combination of AIDS-defining events or death. And the decrease in risk was about twofold, so the relative risk was about 0.5, so about half as many patients had events. The important thing is it's actually a very small number of events, so actually none of the comparisons reached statistical significance. They all were in the same direction, but they all were borderline in terms of significance. They did not reach statistical significance.
Just to understand, like, how many people were in the study and what were the percentages?
So the overall study, it was two studies combined, and there were about 700 patients total in the two studies combined. It was a 2-to-1 randomization. 460 patients got raltegravir and 237 got placebo. Remember, all with optimized background, so that's really important. And the number of events was actually small. There were only 17 events in the raltegravir arm and 11 events in the placebo arm. But remember, 2-to-1 randomization. Also, people got raltegravir for a much longer period of time. So this is adjusted. The analyses are all adjusted for the amount of treatment that was received and the fact that it was a 2-to-1 randomization. So the actual number of clinical events overall was small. But in the adjusted analysis, there were fewer events over time in the people treated with raltegravir compared to placebo. And that includes new AIDS events, death, there were very few deaths, or time to AIDS or death. And we looked at this with the Kaplan-Meier plots that are on the poster. What I think is really important about the analysis is that if you actually look at all the people who had an event, regardless of whether they got placebo or raltegravir, the predictors of a clinical event are not quite what you might think. For example, you might think, well, the people that had clinical events had more resistant virus. But in fact, there wasn't a difference in the GSS score between people that had clinical events and people who didn't have clinical events. You might have thought they would be more treatment experienced, but the number of drugs previously exposed, or the years of therapy was no different. The big difference is people that had clinical events were clinically advanced, which makes perfect sense. The median CD4 was 9 in the people that had clinical events. And 36 out of the 37 actually had a previous AIDS-defining event. So I think what that's telling us is that really, if we're going to use these new therapies, whether it's raltegravir or etravirine or combinations of multiple new drugs, we really want to do it before patients reach these more advanced clinical states. And so it was really in these people with the very low CD4 and previous AIDS-defining illnesses that we really saw most of the events occur.
Uh-huh. I guess one thing I wasn't sure of, when you were thinking of doing this study, did you believed that the people would have these AIDS-defining conditions less so on raltegravir because of viral load, because of CD4.
Right. So that's a really good question. We weren't really sure because there have been a lot of studies done in the last 8 years that have shown more effective therapies, but those studies haven't shown a difference in clinical events. Like Toro is a really good example. This T20 or Invivertide studies, very effective, obviously, but they didn't see a difference in clinical events. So this was an exploratory analysis. But we did anticipate that the activity of raltegravir would be such that perhaps we would see a difference in clinical events. And we knew that at least a certain proportion of the patients would have, you know, advanced enough disease that they would be at risk for clinical events. And there's another poster from the Duet studies with etravirine that shows actually very similar results, showing a clinical advantage to adding a fully active agent compared to optimized background, where they also saw fewer clinical events. So I don't think we were sure ahead of time. It was the time to first AIDS event, new or recurrent, was a pre-planned analysis. The rest of these analyses that I've talked about are post-hoc analysis, but we did think potentially there would be a difference.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC-IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.